42. Yossarian. Colonel Korn says, said Major Danby to Yossarian with a prissy, gratified smile, that the deal is still on. Everything is working out fine. No, it isn't. Oh, yes, indeed, Major Danby insisted benevolently. In fact, everything is much better. It was really a stroke of luck that you were almost murdered by that girl. Now the deal can go through perfectly. I'm not making any deals with Colonel Korn. Major Danby's effervescent optimism vanished instantly, and he broke out all at once into a bubbling sweat. But you do have a deal with him, don't you? He asked in anguished puzzlement. Don't you have an agreement? I'm breaking the agreement. But you shook hands on it, didn't you? You gave him your word as a gentleman. I'm breaking my word. Oh, dear, sighed Major Danby, and began dabbing ineffectually at his careworn brow with a folded white handkerchief. But why, Yossarian? It's a very good deal they're offering you. It's a lousy deal, Danby. It's an odious deal. Oh, dear, Major Danby fretted, running his bare hand over his dark, wiry hair, which was already soaked with perspiration to the tops of the thick, close-cropped waves. Oh, dear. Danby, don't you think it's odious? Major Danby pondered a moment. Yes, I suppose it is odious, he conceded with reluctance. His globular exophthalmic eyes were quite distraught. But why did you make such a deal if you didn't like it? I did it in a moment of weakness, Yossarian wisecracked with glum irony. I was trying to save my life. Don't you want to save your life now? That's why I won't let them make me fly more missions. Then let them send you home, and you'll be in no more danger. Let them send me home because I flew more than 50 missions, Yossarian said. And not because I was stabbed by that girl or because I've turned into such a stubborn son of a bitch. Major Danby shook his head emphatically in sincere and bespectacled vexation. They'd have to send nearly every man home if they did that. Most of the men have more than 50 missions. Colonel Cathcart couldn't possibly requisition so many inexperienced replacement crews at one time without causing an investigation. He's caught in his own trap.
That's his problem.
No, 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 Yossarian, Major Danby disagreed solicitously. It's your problem. Because if you don't go through with the deal, they're going to institute court-martial proceedings as soon as you sign out of the hospital. Yossarian thumbed his nose at Major Danby and laughed with smug elation.
The hell they will! Don't lie to me, Danby! They wouldn't even try.
But why wouldn't they? Inquired Major Danby, blinking with astonishment.
Because I've really got them over a barrel now. There's an official report that says I was stabbed by a Nazi assassin trying to kill them. They'd certainly look silly trying to court-martial me after that.
But Yossarian, Major Danby exclaimed, there's another official report that says you were stabbed by an innocent girl in the course of extensive black market operations involving acts of sabotage and the sale of military secrets to the enemy. Yossarian was taken back severely with surprise and disappointment.
Another official report?
Yossarian, they can prepare as many official reports as they want and choose whichever ones they need on any given occasion. Didn't you know that?
Oh, dear,
Yossarian murmured in heavy dejection, the blood draining from his face.
Oh, dear.
Major Danby pressed forward avidly with a look of vulturous well-meaning. Yossarian, do what they want and let them send you home. It's best for everyone that way.
It's best for Cathcart, Korn, and me. Not for everyone.
For everyone, Major Danby insisted. It will solve the whole problem.
Is it best for the men in the group who will have to keep flying more missions?
Major Danby flinched and turned his face away uncomfortably for a second. Yossarian, he replied, it will help nobody if you force Colonel Cathcart to court-martial you and prove you guilty of all the crimes with which you'll be charged. You'll go to prison for a long
time, and your whole life will be ruined."
Yossarian listened to him with a growing feeling of concern.
"What crimes will they charge me with?"
"Incompetence over Ferrara? Insubordination? Refusal to engage the enemy in combat when ordered to do so? And desertion?" Yossarian sucked his cheeks in soberly.
"They could charge me with all that, couldn't they? They gave me a medal for Ferrara. How could they charge me with incompetence now?"
"Arfi will swear that you and McWatt lied in your official report."
"I'll bet the bastard would."
"They will also find you guilty," Major Danby recited, "of rape, extensive black market operations, acts of sabotage, and the sale of military secrets to the enemy."
"How will they prove any of that? I never did a single one of those things."
"But they have witnesses who will swear you did. They can get all the witnesses they need simply by persuading them that destroying you is for the good of the country." "And in a way, it would be for the good of the country."
"In what way?"
Yossarian demanded, rising up slowly on one elbow with bridling hostility. Major Danby drew back a bit and began mopping his forehead again.
"Well, Yossarian," he began with an apologetic stammer, "it would not help the war effort to bring Colonel Cathcart and Colonel Korn into disrepute now. Let's face it, Yossarian, in spite of everything, the group does have a very good record. If you were court-martialed and found innocent, other men would probably refuse to fly missions, too. Colonel Cathcart would be in disgrace, and the military efficiency of the unit might be destroyed. So in that way, it would be for the good of the country to have you found guilty and put in prison, even though you are innocent."
"What a sweet way you have of putting things," Yossarian snapped with caustic resentment.
Major Danby turned red and squirmed and squinted uneasily.
Please, don't blame me," he pleaded with a look of anxious integrity. "You know it's not my fault. All I'm doing is trying to look at things objectively and arrive at a solution to a very difficult situation."
"I didn't create the situation."
"But you can resolve it. And what else can you do? You don't want to fly more missions."
"I can run away."
"Run away?
Desert! Take off! I can turn my back on the whole damn mess and start running!"
Major Danby was shocked.
"Where to? Where could you go?"
"I could get to Rome easily enough, and I could hide myself there."
"And live in danger every minute of your life that they would find you? No, 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 Yossarian. That would be a disastrous and ignoble thing to do. Running away from problems never solved them. Please believe me. I am only trying to help you."
"That's what that kind detective said before he decided to jab his thumb into my wound," Yossarian retorted sarcastically. "I am not a detective," Major Danby replied with indignation, his cheeks flushing again. "I am a university professor with a highly developed sense of right and wrong, and I wouldn't try to deceive you.
I wouldn't lie to anyone."
"What would you do if one of the men in the group asked you about this conversation?"
"I would lie to him."
Yossarian laughed mockingly, and Major Danby, despite his blushing discomfort, leaned back with relief as though welcoming the respite Yossarian's changing mood promised. Yossarian gazed at him with a mixture of reserved pity and contempt. He sat up in bed with his back resting against the headboard, lit a cigarette, smiled slightly with wry amusement, and stared with whimsical sympathy at the vivid pop-eyed horror that had implanted itself permanently on Major Danby's face the day of the mission to Avignon when General Dreidel had ordered him taken outside and shot. The startled wrinkles would always remain, like deep black scars, and Yossarian felt sorry for the gentle, moral, middle-aged idealist, as he felt sorry for so many people whose shortcomings were not large and whose troubles were light. With deliberate amiability, he said,
"Danby, how can you work along with people like Cathcart and Korn? Doesn't it turn your stomach?"
Major Danby seemed surprised by Yossarian's question.
"I do it to help my country," he replied, as though the answer should have been obvious. "Colonel Cathcart and Colonel Korn are my superiors, and obeying their orders is the only contribution I can make to the war effort. I work along with them because it's my duty. And also, he added in a much lower voice, dropping his eyes, because I am not a very aggressive person.
Your country doesn't need your help anymore, Yossarian reasoned without antagonism. So all you're doing is helping them.
I try not to think of that, Major Danby admitted frankly. I try to concentrate on only the big result and to forget that they are succeeding too. I try to pretend that they are not significant.
That's my trouble, you know, Yossarian mused sympathetically, folding his arms. Between me and every ideal, I always find Shishkovs, Peckhams, Korns, and Cathcarts. And that sort of changes the ideal.
You must try not to think of them, Major Danby advised affirmatively. And you must never let them change your values. Ideals are good, but people are sometimes not so good. You must try to look up at the big picture. Yossarian rejected the advice with a skeptical shake of his head.
When I look up, I see people cashing in. I don't see heaven or saints or angels. I see people cashing in on every decent impulse and every human tragedy.
But you must try not to think of that, Major Danby insisted. And you must try not to let it upset you.
Oh, it doesn't really upset me. What does upset me, though, is that they think I'm a sucker. They think that they're smart and that the rest of us are dumb. And you know, Danby, the thought occurs to me right now for the first time that maybe they're right.
But you must try not to think of that, too, argued Major Danby. You must think only of the welfare of your country and the dignity of man.
Yeah, said Yossarian.
I mean it, Yossarian. This is not World War I. You must never forget that we're at war with aggressors who would not let either one of us live if they won.
I know that,
Yossarian replied tersely with a sudden surge of scowling annoyance.
Christ, Danby, I earned that medal I got, no matter what their reasons were for giving it to me. I've flown 70 goddamn combat missions. Don't talk to me about fighting to save my country. I've been fighting all along to save my country. Now I'm going to fight a little to save myself. The country's not in danger anymore, but I am.
The war's not over yet. The Germans are driving toward Antwerp.
The Germans will be beaten in a few months, and Japan will be beaten a few months after that. If I were to give up my life now, it wouldn't be for my country. It would be for Cathcart and Korn. So I'm turning in my bomb sight for the duration. From now on, I'm thinking only of me.
Major Danby replied indulgently with a superior smile. But Yossarian, suppose everyone felt that way.
Then I'd certainly be a damned fool to feel any other way, wouldn't I?
Yossarian sat up straighter with a quizzical expression.
You know, I have a queer feeling that I've been through this exact conversation before with someone. It's just like the chaplain sensation of having experienced everything twice.
The chaplain wants you to let them send you home, Major Danby remarked.
The chaplain can jump in the lake.
Oh, dear, Major Danby sighed, shaking his head in regretful disappointment. He's afraid he might have influenced you.
He didn't influence me. You know what I might do? I might stay right here in this hospital bed and vegetate. I could vegetate very comfortably right here and let other people make the decisions.
You must make decisions, Major Danby disagreed. A person can't live like a vegetable.
Why not?
A distant, warm look entered Major Danby's eyes. It must be nice to live like a vegetable, he conceded wistfully.
It's lousy, answered Yossarian.
No, it must be very pleasant to be free from all this doubt and pressure, insisted Major Danby. I'd like to live like a vegetable and make no important decisions.
What kind of vegetable, Danby?
Cucumber or a carrot?
What kind of cucumber, a good one or a bad one? Oh, a good one, of course.
They'd cut you off in your prime and slice you up for salad.
Major Danby's face fell.
A poor one, then.
They'd let you rot and use you for fertilizer to help the good ones grow.
I guess I don't want to live like a vegetable then, said Major Danby with a smile of sad resignation.
Danby, must I really let them send me home?
Yossarian inquired of him seriously. Major Danby shrugged. It's a way to save yourself.
It's a way to lose myself, Danby. You ought to know that.
You could have lots of things you want.
I don't want lots of things I want,
Yossarian replied, and then beat his fist down against the mattress in an outburst of rage and frustration.
God damn it, Danby! I got friends who were killed in this war! I can't make a deal now. Getting stabbed by that bitch was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Would you rather go to jail?
Would you let them send you home?
Of course I would, Major Danby declared with conviction.
Certainly I would, he added a few moments later in less positive manner.
Yes, I suppose I would let them send me home if I were in your place, he decided uncomfortably, after lapsing into troubled contemplation.
Then he threw his face sideways disgustedly in a gesture of violent distress and blurted out,
"Oh, yes, of course I'd let them send me home, but I'm such a terrible coward I couldn't really be in your place."
"But suppose you weren't a coward,"
Yossarian demanded, studying him closely.
"Suppose you did have the courage to defy somebody."
"Then I wouldn't let them send me home,"
Major Danby vowed emphatically with vigorous joy and enthusiasm. "But I certainly wouldn't let them court-martial me."
"Would you fly more missions?"
"No, of course not. That would be total capitulation, and I might be killed."
"Then you'd run away?"
Major Danby started to retort with proud spirit and came to an abrupt stop, his half-opened jaw swinging closed dumbly. He pursed his lips in a tired pout.
"I guess there just wouldn't be any hope for me then, would there?"
His forehead and protuberant white eyeballs were soon glistening nervously again. He crossed his limp wrists in his lap and hardly seemed to be breathing as he sat with his gaze drooping toward the floor in acquiescent defeat. Dark, steep shadows slanted in from the window. Yossarian watched him solemnly, and neither of the two men stirred at the rattling noise of a speeding vehicle skidding to a stop outside and the sound of racing footsteps pounding toward the building in haste.
"Yes, there's hope for you," Yossarian remembered with a sluggish flow of inspiration. "Milo might help you. He's bigger than Colonel Cathcart, and he owes me a few favors."
Major Danby shook his head and answered tonelessly,
"Milo and Colonel Cathcart are pals now. He made Colonel Cathcart a vice president and promised him an important job after the war."
"Then XPFC Wintergreen will help us," Yossarian exclaimed. "He hates them both, and this will infuriate him."
Major Danby shook his head bleakly again.
"Milo and XPFC Wintergreen merged last week. They're all partners now in M&M Enterprises." "Then there is no hope for us, is there?"
"No hope."
"No hope at all, is there?"
"No. No hope at all,"
Major Danby conceded. He looked up after a while with a half-formed notion.
"Wouldn't it be nice if they could disappear us the way they disappeared the others, and relieve us of all these crushing burdens?"
Yossarian said no. Major Danby agreed with a melancholy nod, lowering his eyes again. And there was no hope at all for either of them, until footsteps exploded in the corridor suddenly, and the chaplain, shouting at the top of his voice, came bursting into the room with the electrifying news about Orr, so overcome with hilarious excitement that he was almost incoherent for a minute or two. Tears of great elation were sparkling in his eyes, and Yossarian leaped right out of bed with an incredulous yelp when he finally understood.
"Sweden!" he cried.
"Orr!"
cried the chaplain.
"Or,"
cried Yossarian.
"Sweden!"
cried the chaplain, shaking his head up and down with gleeful rapture and prancing about uncontrollably from spot to spot in a grinning, delicious frenzy.
It's a miracle, I tell you. A miracle. I believe in God again. I really do. Washed ashore in Sweden after so many weeks at sea. It's a miracle.
Washed ashore, hell, Yossarian declared, jumping all about also, and roaring in laughing exultation at the walls, the ceiling, the chaplain, and Major Danby.
He didn't wash ashore in Sweden. He rode there. He rode there, chaplain. He rode there.
Rode there?
He planned it that way. He went to Sweden deliberately.
Well, I don't care, the chaplain flung back with undiminished zeal.
It's still a miracle. A miracle of human intelligence and human endurance. Look how much he accomplished.
The chaplain clutched his head with both hands and doubled over in laughter.
Can't you just picture him? He exclaimed with amazement. Can't you just picture him in that yellow raft, paddling through the Straits of Gibraltar at night with that tiny little blue oar?
With that fishing line trailing out behind him, eating raw codfish all the way to Sweden, and serving himself tea every afternoon.
I can just see him,
cried the chaplain, pausing a moment in his celebration to catch his breath.
It's a miracle of human perseverance, I tell you, and that's just what I'm going to do from now on. I'm going to persevere. Yes, I'm going to persevere.
He knew what he was doing every step of the way,
Yossarian rejoiced, holding both fists aloft triumphantly, as though hoping to squeeze revelations from them. He spun to a stop, facing Major Danby.
Danby, you dope! There is hope after all, can't you see? Even Clevenger might be alive somewhere in that cloud of his, hiding inside until it's safe to come out.
What are you talking about? Major Danby asked in confusion. What are you both talking about?
Bring me apples, Danby, and chestnuts, too. Run, Danby, run! Bring me crab apples and horse chestnuts before it's too late, and get some for yourself!
Horse chestnuts? Crab apples?
What in the world for? To pop into our cheeks, of course!
Yossarian threw his arms up into the air in a gesture of mighty and despairing self-recrimination.
Oh, why didn't I listen to him? Why wouldn't I have some faith?
Have you gone crazy? Major Danby demanded with alarm and bewilderment. Yossarian, will you please tell me what you are talking about?
Danby, or planned it that way. Don't you understand? He planned it that way from the beginning. He even practiced getting shot down. He rehearsed for it on every mission he flew, and I wouldn't go with him. Oh, why wouldn't I listen? He invited me along, and I wouldn't go with him. Danby, bring me buck teeth, too, and a valve to fix, and a look of stupid innocence that nobody would ever suspect of any cleverness. I'll need them all. Oh, why wouldn't I listen to him? Now I understand what he was trying to tell me. I even understand why that girl was hitting him on the head with her shoe.
Why? Inquired the chaplain sharply.
Yossarian whirled and seized the chaplain by the shirt front in an importuning grip.
Chaplain, help me. Please, help me. Get my clothes and hurry, will you? I need them right away.
The chaplain started away alertly.
Yes, Yossarian, I will. But where are they? How will I get them?
By bullying and browbeating anybody who tries to stop you. Chaplain, get me my uniform. It's around this hospital somewhere. For once in your life, succeed at something.
The chaplain straightened his shoulders with determination and tightened his jaw.
Don't worry, Yossarian. I'll get your uniform. But why was that girl hitting Orr over the head with her shoe? Please tell me.
Because he was paying her to. That's why. But she wouldn't hit him hard enough. So he had to row to Sweden. Chaplain, find me my uniform so I can get out of here. Ask Nurse Duckett for it. She'll help you. She'll do anything she can to be rid of me.
Where are you going?
Major Danby asked apprehensively when the chaplain had shot from the room.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to run away,
Yossarian announced in an exuberant, clear voice, already tearing open the buttons of his pajama tops.
"Oh, no,"
Major Danby groaned and began patting his perspiring face rapidly with the bare palms of both hands.
"You can't run away. Where can you run to? Where can you go?"
"To Sweden."
"To Sweden?"
Major Danby exclaimed in astonishment.
"You're going to run to Sweden? Are you crazy?"
"Or did it?"
"Oh, no, 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 no," Major Danby pleaded. "No, Yossarian, you'll never get there. You can't run away to Sweden. You can't even row."
"But I can get to Rome, if you'll keep your mouth shut when you leave here and give me a chance to catch a ride. Will you do it?"
"But they'll find you," Major Danby argued desperately, "and bring you back and punish you even more severely."
"They'll have to try like hell to catch me this time."
"They will try like hell, and even if they don't find you, what kind of way is that to live? You'll always be alone. No one will ever be on your side, and you'll always live in danger of betrayal."
"I live that way now."
"But you can't just turn your back on all your responsibilities and run away from them," Major Danby insisted. "It's such a negative move. It's escapist."
Yossarian laughed with buoyant scorn and shook his head.
"I'm not running away from my responsibilities. I'm running to them. There's nothing negative about running away to save my life. You know who the escapists are, don't you, Danby? Not me and Orr."
"Chaplain, please talk to him, will you? He's deserting. He wants to run away to Sweden."
"Wonderful," cheered the chaplain, proudly throwing on the bed a pillowcase full of Yossarian's clothing.
"Run away to Sweden, Yossarian, and I'll stay here and persevere. Yes, I'll persevere. I'll nag and badger Colonel Cathcart and Colonel Korn every time I see them. I'm not afraid. I'll even pick on General Dreidel."
"General Dreidel's out,"
Yossarian reminded, pulling on his trousers and hastily stuffing the tails of his shirt inside. "It's General Peckham now." The chaplain's babbling confidence did not falter for an instant.
"Then I'll pick on General Peckham, and even on General Scheisskopf. And you know what else I'm going to do? I'm going to punch Captain Black in the nose the very next time I see him. Yes, I'm going to punch him in the nose. I'll do it when lots of people are around, so that he may not have a chance to hit me back."
"Have you both gone crazy?"
Major Danby protested, his bulging eyes straining in their sockets with tortured awe and exasperation.
"Have you both taken leave of your senses? Yossarian, listen. It's a miracle, I tell you," the chaplain proclaimed, seizing Major Danby about the waist and dancing him around with his elbows extended for a waltz. "A real miracle! If Orr could row to Sweden, then I can triumph over Colonel Cathcart and Colonel Korn, if I only persevere." "Chaplain, will you please shut up?" Major Danby entreated politely, pulling free and patting his perspiring brow with a fluttering motion. He bent toward Yossarian, who was reaching for his shoes.
"What about Colonel—"
"I couldn't care less." "But this may actually—"
"To hell with them both!"
"This may actually help them,"
Major Danby persisted stubbornly.
"Have you thought of that?"
"Let the bastards thrive, for all I care. Since I can't do a thing to stop them but embarrass them by running away, I've got responsibilities of my own now, Danby. I've got to get to Sweden."
"You'll never make it. It's impossible. It's almost a geographical impossibility to get there from here."
"Hell, Danby, I know that. But at least I'll be trying. There's a young kid in Rome whose life I'd like to save if I can find her. I'll take her to Sweden with me if I can find her. So it isn't all selfish, is it?"
"It's absolutely insane. Your conscience will never let you rest."
"God bless it," Yossarian laughed. "I wouldn't want to live without strong misgivings. Right, Chaplain?"
"I'm going to punch Captain Black right in the nose the next time I see him," gloried the chaplain, throwing two left jabs in the air and then a clumsy haymaker. "Just like that."
"What about the disgrace?" demanded Major Danby. "What disgrace? I'm in more disgrace now."
Yossarian tied a hard knot in the second shoelace and sprang to his feet.
Well, Danby, I'm ready. What do you say? Will you keep your mouth shut and let me catch a ride?
Major Danby regarded Yossarian in silence with a strange, sad smile. He had stopped sweating and seemed absolutely calm.
What would you do if I did try to stop you? He asked with rueful mockery. Beat me up?
Yossarian reacted to the question with hurt surprise.
No, of course not. Why do you say that?
I will beat you up, boasted the chaplain, dancing up close to Major Danby and shadowboxing. You and Captain Black, and maybe even Corporal Whitcomb. Wouldn't it be wonderful if I found I didn't have to be afraid of Corporal Whitcomb anymore?
Are you going to stop me?
Yossarian asked Major Danby, and gazed at him steadily. Major Danby skipped away from the chaplain and hesitated a moment longer.
No, of course not, he blurted out, and suddenly was waving both arms toward the door in a gesture of exuberant urgency. Of course I won't stop you. Go, for God's sake, and hurry. Do you need any money?
I have some money.
Well, here's some more.
With fervent, excited enthusiasm, Major Danby pressed a thick wad of Italian currency upon Yossarian and clasped his hand in both his own, as much to still his own trembling fingers as to give encouragement to Yossarian.
It must be nice to be in Sweden now, he observed yearningly. The girls are so sweet, and the people are so advanced.
Goodbye, Yossarian, the chaplain called, and good luck.
I'll stay here and persevere, and we'll meet again when the fighting stops.
So long, chaplain. Thanks, Danby.
How do you feel, Yossarian?
Fine. No, I'm very frightened.
That's good, said Major Danby. It proves you're still alive. It won't be fun.
Yossarian started out.
Yes, it will.
I mean it, Yossarian. You'll have to keep on your toes every minute of every day. They'll bend heaven and earth to catch you.
I'll keep on my toes every minute.
You'll have to jump.
I'll jump.
Jump! Major Danby cried.
Yossarian jumped. Natalie's whore was hiding just outside the door. The knife came down, missing him by inches. And he took off.